The following live broadcast of the Big Island Press Club Mayoral Forum is a special presentation of New West Broadcasting and KPUA 670 AM and 98.5 FM.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hilo Yacht Club at beautiful Kaumealani Bay here on the Keokaha coastline. I'm John Burnett. I used to be with KPUA, KWXX, B97, New West Broadcasting, which is broadcasting this live on 67 AM KPUA and 98.5 FM KPUA FM. And with me are Michael Phillips of Weather Boy and also our immediate past president of the Big Island Press Club. I am the vice president, and also to my left is Amaya Hirata. Amaya is a senior at the University of Hawaii at Hilo, and she is a political science major. The Big Island Press Club invites you to meet the next mayor. The two candidates are here, the incumbent Mitch Roth and Kimo Alameda, the challenger. The Big Island Press Club, since 1967, has been protecting the public's right to know. Through the Big Island Press Club Foundation, scholarships are given annually to Hawaii Island students pursuing journalism in all forms of media. Those of you live here who have been on the stream, we are streaming on KVikes, and we're also streaming on the Big Island Press Club's Facebook page. You've seen a couple, three, maybe more of the recipients of the scholarships. I'm one. I won three of them back in the 1990s, back when I was still working on the radio. Since then, college educations have gotten more expensive, and so has the amount of money that the Big Island Press Club has given. In fact, one Big Island Press Club scholarship is now worth more than the three that I received back in the 1990s, which, by the way, I paid back. I'll gladly say that. Today's forum rules are simple enough. The forum is for an hour. Questions will be alternately asked by our panelists, Michael Phillips and Amaya Hirata. The candidates will have precisely 3 minutes to respond. We have Nancy Cook Lauer of All Hawaii News here as our timekeeper. She has cards. She has an egg timer. She has the hammer. Toward the forum end, the candidates will be able to ask each other a question. Finally, they'll give their summary as to why they should be the next mayor for 4 years here on Hawaii Island. So with our first question.
Coin toss.
I don't even know who won the coin toss.
Who? Mitch won the toss, so he gets the first question. And the first question is, in the spirit of transparency and open access to government, will you commit, if you win, to do another newsmaker luncheon like this with the press club by your ninth month in office to take questions from us and the public on how things are going as mayor, and what else would you do to improve transparency and open access to government beyond that?
Have 3 minutes.
Thanks, Mike. You know, absolutely, yes. We'll commit to having that question and answer. We, you know, take a lot of questions and answers. One of the things we have done is we started adding more PIOs through the to the county, so PIOs, public information officers. We now have one in civil defense that's getting information out. We now have one in parks that's getting information out. Trying to get a few more of those out. You'll see that we've tried to also get more information available on our websites. So, you know, there's dashboards that are out there that you can see what's happening. Civil defense has a all hazards map. If you're not familiar with the all hazards map, I highly recommend that everybody get themselves familiar. It's on the civil defense website. When we have, you know, different kinds of emergencies, and even when we don't have emergencies, that hazard map is up. So right now, for example, you'll see Waipio Valley Road is on there. We also have done a lot of other things, especially in the cases of emergency. Prior administrations didn't want to go and talk to, you know, streamers. My last competitor, Ikaika Marzo, you know, during the last lava flow, we went out and we actively sought their comments, going online live with them to answer questions. So we've tried to be as open and honest as we can and, you know, get people the opportunity to hear things. People can go online and they can ask questions of us. They can request meetings with the mayor. And a lot of times when they're even make complaints, and we try to get back to every one of those people that go on and fill out one of those forms. I personally go out there and I talk to a lot of people who are sending questions, concerns, or other things in there. So we intend on continuing to do all we can to get out there and get the word out. We also just signed a contract in the last couple of days for Everbridge. It's the notification system that the police use. We're going to be pairing that up with other different information technology that different county units are using. We also set off an app called Kahea, which is now another way of getting information. So those are some of the things that we're working on.
Thank you. Kimo, do you need me to repeat the question?
Yes. No, that's, I got it. I just got to stand up too then. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you, Big Island Press Club, for putting this on. So, you know, before Maya, it was who received the award, the scholarship. It was a kid that I coached. His name was Kai Hayashida. And we partnered together on Naleo. I had a Naleo show, and, you know, I would feature dignitaries, community folks, and we'd just talk stories about Big Island. I'm kind of a media guy when you think about it. So I believe in transparency because that's the best way to get the word out, right? There's no hide and seek in government. It shouldn't be that way. And so, you know, we grew up with the Tribune Herald. That's where we got our, you know, information from. My parents, my grandparents, we always used to look at the back page, the police blotter. You guys remember that? Right? Just trying to see who's in there. So we have a history of transparency, right? And we need to continue that. And the publications that you folks put on is super, super important. So our administration will be super transparent. And of course, we'll do the annual event again, you know, because that's important. The press got to ask government questions. We got to be able to answer. That's your tax dollars, right? And if we cannot answer, then maybe we shouldn't be in that position. Because you deserve to know everything about, not just about government, but about the budget. And so our administration will have an open budget. Kauai has it. I don't know if you know, Mitch, but Kauai has a software program that's an open budget where the public can go in and see exactly how dollars are being spent. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think so. So then that way, right, so in that way, when there's something that comes out in the paper, like, for example, wastewater, right, with $174 million kind of first bid came in, and then all of a sudden, you know, something happened, and there was a second bid that came in, $350-something million. How did that happen? Well, a transparent government, you would already know. You wouldn't have to wait. In fact, you'd have less people writing to the editor if you had a transparent, really transparent government, right? So you know, and I've been always like that. I mean, at Bay Clinic, right, I was working real close with Civil Beat, Tribune Herald, on the merger. We had Tribune Herald did a feature on us, a front page on how the merger happened. And with COVID, again, another front page story in Tribune Herald on how our clinic did outreach. We went to the places that nobody else wanted to go, Keokaha, Miloli'i, Maku'u, you know, so, and you guys, right, the media helped us get the word out. So it's a two-way street. And I think we benefit way more from being transparent and having you guys on our team than anything else. So yes, our administration will be full on transparent. I believe in open budgets. I believe in online. I believe in public participation, because that's just who we are. And by the way, the island's not that big.
Thank
even
you.
If it's
Thank
called
you.
The Big Island. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. Our next question is, Hawaii has seen a population decrease in recent years. Alongside this, 53% of Native Hawaiians live in the continental U.S., while 47% live in Hawaii. Many believe that this is due to a lack of job opportunities and a high cost of living. How will you ensure that locals, and most importantly, Native Hawaiians, are not priced out of Hawaii? Mitch, I believe you get to go first. Alternate. Sorry. Kima Alameda.
Yeah, usually we alternate. See, we're getting good at this. We know the rules before you guys. So, I got to tell you, I know, you know, Mitch, you know, you're part of your goal and part of your definition of sustainability is having our kids raise our kids. And you know, it's not happening. I mean, there's more Hawaiians living outside of Hawaii than in Hawaii. And those Hawaiians are my relatives, you know. So if it hurts anybody, that it hurts me. It hurts me a lot because, you know, we kind of connect. We got to FaceTime. You know, we like hugs. You know, we like honies. You know, we don't like FaceTimes. I mean, if it's the best we can do, we'll do it. But I miss my cousins. I miss my uncles. I miss my aunties. You know, half of them, some of them in Vegas, some in Seattle. They had the conference recently, the one that we did the debate. I mean, before that, they had it in Vegas. Next year, I think they might have them in Seattle. So what is Hawaii without Hawaiians? Okay? And here we are. Here we are, right? We're trying to come out of this situation with Hawaiians being left out. The yacht club. I mean, 50 years ago, my family wouldn't be invited here. Right? So we've come a long way. Okay? We've come a long way. And so now we really got to turn the tables and we got to up the ante. I mean, if we want our families to live here and stay here, we got to be transparent. We got to be honest about the discrimination. We got to be honest about the disparities in care. And government got to be able to talk about it without being nervous. Because if I'm nervous talking about it, you guys are going to be nervous. And we still have a racial divide. And I believe I can bring people together because I've lived on both sides. And so if you want to bring Hawaiians back, we got to bring them back to a place that they remember. Not this kind of animosity between cultures, between districts. You know, in fact, even, zoning is the last kind of form of legal discrimination when you think about it. So really, hey, if we want Hawaiians to be here, right, we got to make it possible for them to be here fiscally, right, because they got to be affordable, but we also like them be in a place where they feel comfortable living and not feel like outsiders in their own homeland. Thank you, everybody. Aloha.
Thank you, Kimo. Mitch?
Yeah, I just want to go back real quickly to that last question about the budget. Our budget is online. If you pick up your phone, you go onto the County of Hawaii website, you put County of Hawaii budget, you can find it. Kind of scary that we're almost less than a month and a half and you haven't looked at the budget. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to get paid for and make some changes. But let's talk about Hawaiians. You know, we have been focusing on sustainability, and sustainability to me means the ability to allow our kids to raise their kids. And so we've been asking this question, you know, how do we make sure our Hawaiians, because as we lose our Hawaiians, we lose our culture. As we lose our culture, we lose our identity of who we are, and we become someplace else, California or something like that. So we've actually brought people together with Kamehameha schools, with our charter schools, with various different groups to ask the question, what do we need to do to make sure our Hawaiian kids can raise their kids here? You know, the number one thing that we need to do is we need to have housing. And so we talk about that affordable housing pipeline. That pipeline takes a long time, not just because of the county, but we have, you know, the State Land Use Commission, CWRM, which is, you know, the Committee on Water Resource Management, SHPTI. So there's a lot of things that can take those programs a long time. And if you don't have a pipeline that's ready to build houses, we ain't getting houses. And so we went from 1,243 to over 8,100. I talked about, you know, some of the places that are opening up in the next month that we're breaking ground on. But we're getting ready not just for today. We're getting ready for tomorrow and into the future. We looked at our permitting program. And I know Kimo likes to say that we went from the worst in the country, the fourth worst. But we went from the worst in the country to the best in the state, and we're actually better than a lot of other places around the country. That's not, you know, coming from me. That's coming from the University of Hawaii Economic Resource Organization, New Hero. In fact, our island in the last 4 years has given out more housing permits than any other island in our state. And we've gotten better at giving them out as well. When we came in, we were about 600s a year, averaging. Then we went to 800. Last year, we went over 1,000 housing permits that we were able to give out in a year. That's, you know, real progress. You know, we talk about different ideas. We have to have specifics. You know, we talk about how we're going to keep our Hawaiians. Specifics are, we're going out there, we're talking, Housing's been number one. We're working with our students. We're working with the jobs, because next is the jobs that our kids want to work in, making sure that we have the jobs that kids can work in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Next question will be Michael.
Pimo, many small businesses across the island continue to complain that they have been waiting more than 6 months to over a year for permits to be issued so they can open up their businesses. Places like Marzo's Country Sports Bar and Grill in Puna, to Wyatt's Place in Mountain View, to the numerous stores and restaurants stalled at Waikoloa Plaza in Waikoloa Village, all describe how extreme delays are impacting their business. What will you do to fix this?
So you mean Mitch, right?
Because no, not
you.
Me.
Oh, no, I go first.
Oh, sorry. Yep. Sorry. It's a question
right,
for
everybody.
Both of you.
It's from last to first and from first to last.
Yeah, so specifically what we've been doing is we've been looking at the system and we've been making changes, putting in a computer system that we didn't purchase, but we actually burnt the ships, went out there and made some changes. You know, one of the things that we see, and I know some of those projects that you're talking about, some of those projects come in, they get reviewed by our plan designers, they send them back because they need corrections. Oftentimes what you don't see is you don't see the design professionals who may take 4, 5, 6, 7 months to get the plans back into our hands. That is something that happens a lot, which actually extends a lot of those things out. The permitting system is not perfect right now. I'll be the first one to admit it. But we are getting better at making sure that people can get permits out there. We just put in another change the other day to how permits are intaken. And I want to thank Bob Dewar for putting a media request into our permitting department, because I know Kimo has said in the past there's like 3,000 permits that haven't even gone through intake. The number we saw, there's 280, so a lot less than 3,000, which has been reported by Kimo. We look at articulable facts and things that we can do. We've made changes in the law to help speed things up. We had a wind speed that was impacting us. We looked at the state law. The state was the one that put it on us. We actually moved our wind speeds from 130 to 140 miles per hour. That made a huge difference, and it's going to continue to make differences. We look at places that we can make changes, and we've made changes, and that's what we can continue to do to speed those permits up. But it's really important that the design professionals also get those plans back to our reviewers quickly so we can move those projects.
Thank you.
Kimo.
I can tell you for a fact that there's no way there's 200 plus permits pre-intake. I can promise you that without even looking in the data, because my permit's still stuck. And I can also promise you that it's not taking no 28 days. In fact, I haven't met anybody who has a permit that took 28 days from submitting it to receiving it. Okay, so if you got to do a fact check, you really got to do that fact check quickly, because if that gets out on the media, it's going to be a joke. People are going to laugh at it. It is not true. Okay, it's just simply not true. This is how it works, because I got helpers, right, that are on our team that work for the county. And they're on our team because they're frustrated. Right? So if my permit's taking almost 6 months, Marzo is almost 8 months, how did you come with 28 days, 48 days, 72 days? This is not even days. You got to count months. So that's misleading. The other thing that's misleading is the 8,100 homes in the pipeline. I asked my construction friends. My dad's a plumber. My brother's an electrician. My uncle's a carpenter. I mean, I grew up blue collar. I was the only one who went to school to get a doctorate in psychology because I didn't want to work so hard in digging ditches. Right? But I'm glad I was raised like that, because it taught me the value of hard work. And my construction family is telling me, that the permitting system, Kimo, it has to change. Like, we cannot put food on the table because we cannot work because the county is holding us hostage. And so our administration, we will look into provisional approvals for all permits. The county does not take liability for any of the permits. The architect does. So why are we slowing it up on the tail end? I've talked to engineers and architects on Oahu, on the Big Island. They say, Kimo, it's absolutely possible. We could do that. I got attorneys on our team saying we can do that. It just takes political will and relationships with the state that we could pass on our permits with a few checklists, like make sure it's on the right property, make sure it's the right TMK, right? Because we know homes was built on another property. Okay, like some simple things, make sure the setbacks are okay. But hey, after that, the architect's smarter than the front desk person in the county. Pass it through. Honor their degree. So we would, and if there's legally issues with that, then we'll take it to third party reviews, right? Because you only get two reviewers in Hilo, one in Corner. There's a staffing issue. Those permits not going to go through. My biggest thing as your mayor would be to get those permits through, okay? Because that will create an economic boom, right? You got to tell all the HPMs, Hansadors, and Home Depots, be ready, because if the Alameda administration gets in, we'll have an economic boom, and we better get those supplies ready, because you got blue-collar workers ready to work, baby. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, Amaya, and this will also be first for Kimo.
Tourism contributes a substantial amount to Hawaii's GDP. A concern attached to this is that tourism is not sustainable, and many feel negative impacts due to tourism. Do you believe in diversifying our economy, and if yes, how should it be done?
Yeah, absolutely. COVID taught us, right? Mother Nature's the great teacher, yeah? And Mother Nature taught us that, hey, can only rely on tourism, right? However, tourism's the big bridge, okay? The amount of revenue that gets circulated in our economy in 1 year is about $100 billion. Tourism contributes to about $20 billion, okay? That's a lot, so that's majority. So that's the biggest economic driver, okay? So we cannot not do without tourism, right? But we got to diversify. We cannot just rely on tourism. So that's why, you know, we're going to be looking into other forms of, you know, and kind of what the current administration is doing too, but kind of accelerate it. You know, like if you like really help our farmers, then really help our farmers, right? Help our ag guys, our fishermen, our you know, hunters, you know, and maybe turn that into an industry, right? But also we need different type of tourists, right? We don't like tourists that just extract. We like tourists that give back, right? And so that's called regenerative tourism. Right, tourism that is circular, right? They don't just take. So what kind of tourists are that? Well, hey, we have festivals here. We just got to make them more. And the mayor has supported the Mayor Monarch. The mayor has supported our canoe races. That's great. Continue to support that. I'd like to even go further. I think we can be the sports capital of the United States. I mean, this is the way sports teams would like to come. We should have the World Series over here, right, in every sport. In addition to that, we're also the health capital, right? I mean, people should come here for health tourism. And I have colleagues who are doing this in different parts of the country. But this is the place for healing. I mean, you just look outside. That's healing right there. So we got to look at different type of tourists and tourists that give back. And we're already on the right track, you know, with the Pono Pledge. And I think the state's finally getting the act together with the counties. So we just have to continue to promote that. But yes, we're looking for different types of tourists. We're looking for different kinds of economies, and with the Alameda administration, that's what you're going to get. Thank you.
So I just want to go back again to that last one, because the 8,100 affordable housing in the pipeline, that is online. You can take a look at every one of those projects, and the FOIA request was done by Bob Dewar, and that's how those numbers came back. Now let's talk about tourism. Yeah, we do need to do something with tourism. We've actually been working our research and development, been working with Hawaii Tourism and a whole bunch of other partners on tourism. We came up with a DMAP, which is a Destination Management Action Plan. And that action plan really focuses on building tourism around our communities versus building our communities around tourism. It looks at getting the right kind of tourists. You know, before we used to look at the booze cruises and, you know, places where Hawaii comes as a drinking and fun place like that. We need to think about other things. We need to think about how we get culture. You know, one of the things we've been spending a lot of time working with Japan. Japan has over 3 million hula dancers. And those hula dancers don't only study hula, they study Hawaiian culture. And when the Japanese tourists come here, then they focus a lot on playing by the rules. Same thing with a lot of our other people from Asia, and there's people on the mainland. Yeah, we are working on things like ecotourism. We are working on some other things. We need to also make sure that our hospitality industry is working sustainably. And so we've been working with our hospitality industries. You'll notice that in most hotels, they have places where you can fill your hydro flask rather than, you know, getting different kinds of plastic bottles that are going to be going out into our ocean. You'll notice that we've passed some bills to work on making sure that we're taking care of our ocean. So we're doing that. And yes, we need to diversify. So we've been focusing on a lot of different things. One of the things that we're focusing on is the areas of STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. A lot of our kids are very interested in doing that. And you can put farming into that area. But we've been working on energy. You know, Hawaii is taking a leading role, not just in our county, but around the world, working on hydrogen. We became a hydrogen hub with Namie, Japan, and Lancaster, California. We received funds from the government to help us do these things. We're looking at putting out, in the next couple of weeks, it will come out a RFP, request for proposals, on different ways that we can bring some of these energy agencies that will help us take energy from here rather than have to bring it in from other places. That's diversification. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. We're moving a little faster than what we thought we would early on, so we're going to have Michael ask a couple of quick questions going into the top of the hour and the necessary station ID break that the Federal Communication Commission requires.
And these are real quick questions that warrant very quick answers, so just one or two word answers. So I will start with Mitch. Mitch, of the natural disaster threats that could impact the Big Island, which concerns you the most? One or two words.
Mauna Loa went off, so I would go with the tsunami.
And Kimo?
Right now, fire, because we're not ready for it.
And then Mitch, what's your favorite beach or park on the Big Island?
Ooh, I have a couple of them, but I like Mauna Kea Beach as a beach. So I'll go with Mauna Kea Beach.
Hemo.
I just said a favorite place on the island for me is my home with my kids.
And then Mitch, what is your favorite thing to eat on the Big Island?
The vegan shop has some really good food. I'll go with the vegan shop.
Hemo.
Yeah, so every place is different. In West Hawaii, I go Randy's Huli Chicken and Ribs. Okay, on the south side, I probably go my auntie's house. And on the north side, I like the Waimea L&L. And then in back in Hilo, I mean, you guys got to come Sunday, my house. Sunday's the best at my house. It's the best place to eat.
Yes. And this last question of this short lightning round is a bit of a hard hitter question. Do you believe, yes or no, is there corruption in county government on this island?
I will say, not at the top, no.
Pimo.
Well, not too long ago, our housing guy stole $9 million or some crazy amount from the housing situation. So, yes, there is corruption.
Yeah, different administration.
And then one other tricky question. Do you think the Big Island should ever be split into two counties? Mitch.
No.
Pimo.
If we don't provide geographic parity, maybe. We got to provide geographic parity. West, north, and east side, and the south side deserve better.
And then actually the last question is, what is your favorite month of the year to be on the Big Island? Kimo. We'll wrap up with you.
No, that's
what? What's your favorite month of the year to be on the Big Island of Hawaii?
Oh, the best month, November.
And Mitch?
I'll say December.
Thank you. That's it with the that.
Nobody like no why. Why November? Nobody like I get an answer.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back with you in just a moment. But just want to remind you, you are here at the Yacht Club, the Hilo Yacht Club on beautiful... What's the name of the bay one? That's terrible. Kaumea Lani Bay. And we have our... mayoral candidates here, the incumbent, Mitch Roth, and we also have the challenger, Kimo Alameda. And we thank them both for being here today. And also, this is a Big Island Press Club sponsorship, and we have several other sponsors that need to be thanked as well, and we'll do that at the end, but also want to talk about the scholarship fund. The scholarship fund is something that keeps scholarships to students, local students with local ties, who want to go into journalism, who want to go into information. It can be print journalism. It can be broadcast journalism. It can be the new media type of journalism that we have these days. It seems nowadays that everybody that has a cell phone fancies themselves a journalist. That's kind of the world that we live in these days. And the Big Island Press Club has done some, well, we've made some adjustments over the years to go into this proud new territory. I mean, Michael is mostly an online journalist, although he's done TV journalism as well. And he's been the Press Club president. He's the immediate past president. And he's been just a wonderful rainmaker for us, bringing in funds, especially for the scholarship fund. And I do want to say thank you very much, Michael, for what you've done for the Press Club.
Well, thank you so much. And it looks like we're out of the commercial break, so we can...
Well, we do have to, do the station ID. You are on KPUA 670, KPUA Hilo, and 98.5 KPUA FM Hilo, and now we're out of the commercial break.
Excellent.
What you got for us, Michael?
So the next question, and I've lost track of who's up. I believe Mitch is up.
Mitch is up.
So, and this is a question that will be asked for both of you, so I'll phrase it in a way that works for both of you. So, for the current mayor, was there federal money earmarked for COVID hazard pay? If not, why not? If yes, how much and where did it go? And for the challenger, would you agree with the mayor for his decision, or do you disagree with his decision and why?
Great. So, there was no federal funds that were earmarked for COVID hazard pay. So I think you got to understand what the hazard pay, they're looking at 25% for every county worker, because the union's issue is that every county worker was working under an unusually hazardous condition that put them in danger of death. We had nobody that died who was working in the county at the job, got COVID at the job. I don't even know of anybody who got sick when they were working at COVID. I'll tell you who was struggling. The people who were struggling were the people who were not working, who didn't have a job to go to, the people who worked at hotels, who worked in restaurants that were closed. And so what did we do? We used the federal funds to help feed people. We had, you know, people that we were feeding all around the island. I think most of you probably saw those food lines. Those food lines were enormous. We had people that were, you know, worried about having to pay their rent. So we helped people with rent assistance. We had people who had small businesses, our mom and pop shops, the shops that allow you to buy local, to do local businesses. We helped those people with funds to keep their shops open. If not, what we would have seen is only the Walmarts and the Targets and the Costcos, and we would have lost local business. So if you talk about sustainability, we took care to make sure that our community, especially those people who weren't working, who didn't know where their paycheck was, we made sure that they were taken care of. So that, in a nutshell, is where we spent our money. I like to say, you know, we came in to office and our county budget was questionable whether we were going to be able to survive financially. That was the question 4 years ago. Were we going to be able to survive financially as a county? Today, our county has the highest bond rating ever. That's not according to me. That's Moody's. That's the bond raters that do our bond rating. I'd like to also point out that, you know, at that time, Kimo was in charge of Bay Clinic. Bay Clinic, when they merged, was having financial difficulties. My understanding from people is that they would have gone under. So Well, that's what I've heard from several people, that they had financial, and, you know, Bay Clinic was the bigger organization, and they're not running it anymore. So thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh, that's so far from the truth. I can promise you folks, the reason I got called in is to alleviate Bay Clinic from financial difficulties, and we're doing super, super good. I'll never leave employment being at the low part. My daddy taught me, he said, anytime you leave employment, always leave it at your highest point. Don't ever leave it at your lowest point. And I left Bay Clinic at my highest point. Tribune Herald wrote about it, right? That merger was an initiation on my part because we were all kind of reasons. They didn't have enough doctors, psychologists, right? And I took the humble role because you couldn't have two CEOs. So, you know, that was the first question. The other CEO said, hey, who going to be the CEO? I said, you can be the CEO, brother. I just like the services. Okay, and that's what happened. So, you know, I'm feeling bad for Mitch right now because the word's going to get out, and that's such of a lie. So, you know, whoever gave you that information, got to apologize to you. Let me answer that question one more time again.
Sure. So I asked the mayor, was there federal money earmarked for COVID hazard pay?
Got it. So here's the deal. It's a contractual agreement, right? It's like, you know, how many of you guys are married in the room? Okay, good. So if somebody break the contract, that's what, automatic divorce or something, right? Or there's definitely some negotiation you got to fix. This man has married in a contract with the unions, and there is hazard pay in there. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there were money that was allocated for hazard pay. How I know? Because we got money at Bay Clinic, and our doctors were put at risk, so we gave them hazard pay. Okay, and you know why nobody got sick and nobody died? Because the county workers were essential, risking their life to prevent anybody and to make it safe for everybody to not get sick. Thank you, county workers. And is that how we treat them? That's how we treat the county workers, right? Mitch, you had the healthiest island because your county workers made them healthy. You made them essential, forced them to go to work. You know, they were the ones making the tape 6 feet across. They were the ones who was giving everybody, masks. They was the ones who was making sure everything was sanitized, right? And then you're going to come back and say, you wasn't at risk. No way. Our administration will honor our contract, number one. Number two, we got to treat our employees with more respect and dignity. Okay, the mayor is only as good as the employees. And right now, the mayor's relationship with our employees is at a standstill. You're gonna let this administration go 4 more years with employees that are not happy. Very little will get done. Thank you.
I'm going to take a little bit of executive privilege here as a moderator and ask a question myself that's not here on the script. And it has to do because it was COVID was brought up, the pandemic was brought up. Does the pandemic continue to affect life here on the Big Island? And if so, how? And we'll go with chemo first.
Absolutely. You know, as a mental health provider, I can tell you that pandemic had put in isolation a lot of families and kids. And that isolation is something that is still impacting our kids today. So, you know, we got to get our kids out. We got to get them connected. And it also impacted in a positive way, too, I think. So, you know, I never knew even what the word Zoom meant until the pandemic. Right? What is that Zoom? Again, Zoom meeting, really? So we've became better users of technology because of the pandemic. And so this pandemic will always have impacts on us, right, both positive and negative. But we got to take the lessons learned from the negative, right? And we kind of repeat that as government. And as your leader, I know the lessons learned. When it comes to healthcare, you have no better mayor than I because that's my field, that's my passion, and I understand healthcare. And I also understand mental health care as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree that there's all sorts of impacts, both positive and negative. The technology, the way we do meetings, all of that has changed. As far as, you know, where we go in the future, I think there's some really great lessons that we've learned. And, you know, we talk about hazard pay again. If we would have paid that money to the employees versus paying it to take care of the people who really need it, who are really suffering, then what does that say for the next time we have a disaster? Do we choose to just pay people and let people starve, let people lose their housing, let people have their businesses go down? I think there's some lessons that we learn there. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. And I will say that from my point of view as a reporter, it's been both good and bad. We were not allowed to work from home in my shop. We did have to come in every day. We did not receive any hazard pay, by the way. And the other thing, one thing that really that really strikes me is that now it's so much easier for reporters on the neighbor island to cover government in Honolulu, our state government. That is something that we didn't have before then. If we wanted to cover state government, we had to go there and we had to be in the capital. And that's no longer the case. So it has, some of the effects have been for the better. Now we'll go with Amaya. You've been waiting patiently. Thank you so much.
Candidates, two current issues on the Big Island are controlled by outside agencies. The renewal of leases to military for land in Hawaii, including Pohakuloa, and the construction of the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea. What influence can you exercise as the island's top official? And what is your stance on the pros and cons? We'll start with Mitch.
Yeah, so, and I think that's what it is. We are not the people who get to make those decisions about what happens at Pohakuloa or at TMT. We do have the ability to advocate. I think it's important to advocate. I think it's important to make sure that we're bringing people together. I look back to where we were in 2014 when I was the prosecuting attorney, and we had the first set of cases coming in for prosecution. At that time, my recommendation was Ho'oponopono, bring people together, have people, you know, talk, because there was no talking going on. I think a lot of Hawaiians felt they were left out of the conversation, and I agree. That didn't happen. 2019, we got what we got. Now, you know, in the advocating with people like TMT, I'm saying go out there, talk. They are talking now, and they're building better relationships. Does that mean it's going to happen? I don't know. As far as Pohakuloa, you know, Pohakuloa serves some purposes. There's some negatives, there's some positives, and I think Kimo and I agree on this, is that we need to be charging more than $1 a year for, you know, for each of these. We need to make sure that we're bringing people together if we're going to be doing this and giving them a voice where that money goes, how, you know, how we're going to take care. But right now, as far as Pohakuloa, I just want to say we are closer to World War III right now than any time in our past. And when you talk to the military about this, their big fear is the Pacific. And so making sure that we take care of over here is important. There's some other things happening at Pohakuloa that they really need to talk about, what they're doing to take care of the environment. You know, they had the best recycling program in the country for a military base. About 70% of everything coming on their lands. They need to be talking about that, and, you know, we're talking to them. We also have the a seat at the table on the management of the mountain. And so we look at that, and we have a voice there as well. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's kind of what we're looking at. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm here also thinking about the previous question. So I want to go back. So when I talk about open budgets, it's not so much, Mitch, how the, you know, what the budget looks like. What I mean is how the money gets spent. You know, I mean, when you go online, yeah, you see how what's allocated, but I want to know how the money gets spent. You know, there's something called, you know, at the end, there's a fund that kind of trickles into one big chunk, and nobody kind of knows where it goes. So when I talk about open budgets, that's what I mean. And regarding to the hazard pay, I mean, you talked about giving that money to businesses, but it just occurred to me, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was the PPP program. I mean, the PPP program is what helped our business, right? The Small Business Association put that out there. So why would you have to use hazard pay for small businesses when the government already had a program for that? Anyway, I'm here thinking out loud. But yeah, let's talk about Pohakuloa and Mauna Kea. So you know, Mitch's answer is evolving. The more we debate, the more his answers evolve. And it's evolving because I think we're debating. I've always said that, you know, Mitch was for the mountain, for the TMT 2019. He had no problem with that. Okay? I had a problem with it. I was a protector because there was not enough negotiation on the county's part. And I know probably most of you were okay with it too. But thank goodness it didn't get passed because now we got negotiation power. You can imagine it got passed. We wouldn't even have negotiation power to get more than $1 a year. You can imagine if you let it pass that they would not decommission six. Now they're going to decommission six because it wasn't passed. And now with me being at the table, the TMT feel much more comfortable because I've talked to all the TMT folks. I've talked to the board members. I've talked to Subaru. I talked to Gemini. I talked to Keck. I talked to Canada France, right? I've asked them directly, would you be open to these suggestions? I get 10 of them, all conditions. They're all open to my conditions. And it's going to be good for you guys, Big Island. Okay, only now Mitch talked about sitting at the table at the Mauna Kea Authority. I told him from day one, I wouldn't send my friend Doug Adams. I would be there. You got to represent. This is your island, right? That impacts our people. Okay, we got to be at that table. And yes, we can make the decision. It's not just, oh, be an advocate. No, we have a voice at the table. We're one of the 11 votes on the Mauna Kea Authority. So my plan is for TMT, hey, I told them, you got to have a decommission plan before you stop. There's like, can do. You got to put in line item budget, $50 million, right on. Thank you. This is how negotiation, right? That's why you elect one mayor with a business hat too. Okay, also the money, the revenues, cannot just go to STEM. Because not all of our kids do robotics. Okay, I get kids that do farming, fishing, hunting, right? We do boxing, we're into sports. You got to diversify those funds because the STEM never create that mountain. They never build them.
It's time.
Right? So, hey, we got to get fairness, and our administration will bring fairness. Thank you.
Thank you. It's time.
So, Kimo, you're next with this question. Two current issues on the Big Island. Oh, sorry. Tens of millions of tax dollars have been collected to provide housing and services for the homeless population. But the people with no other place to live continue to camp out in our storefronts and sidewalks, often dissuading visitors from shopping at local small businesses. What can be done or is being done to help all parties concerned, and when will we see some results? Kimo.
Yeah, so with the homeless, you know, Mitch talked about me being involved in the point in time count, right? And so, of course, I'm always going to be involved if I can, right? So I'm a member of Going Home Hawaii, and we got involved. And so that 28% of decrease in homelessness, I mean, that was the stat, but I wouldn't publicize it because it's just not the reality. See, we did a point in time count. It's one point in time. The margin of error is huge. You can talk about like 30 points for me. Like, that's how big. That's why we don't brag about that stat. Even Hope Services and Going Home Hawaii, we're not bragging about that because we know there's huge variation. Plus, we also know that before that point in time count, the county swept, right, relocated kind of the homeless from that area because they wanted to put the veteran wall. Okay, so then when we went to do the point in time count, we don't know where the homeless was. So that's how I know it's not accurate. Now, what we're going to do with the homeless is we got to talk to the homeless because homeless people are not homeless because they ran out of money. Homeless people are homeless because they ran out of relationships. Okay, they burn bridges because of addictions and mental health issues. You need one mayor who understands mental health. Nothing better than one psychologist. Okay? So I can tell you, I know how to work with homeless. I sit with the homeless. You know why the homeless are at the businesses? Because they feel safe. They like sleeping behind them, with a wall behind them. They like that get one light, and they like that get one camera. That's the safest place they feel. So to all the business people, hey, as a person, if I could be a homeless person right now, I'll tell you, thank you for keeping me safe. Because the county not, okay? And the county got to create safe places for homeless people, right? You put them in a little, kind of, you know, in a place where they're not comfortable because they're... So there's so much you need to know about homelessness that I got covered that I would bring to the administration. I would also add the almost homeless. This administration not paying attention to the almost homeless, right? The kupuna who's one paycheck away from being homeless, right? The foster child who aging out of the system, who has no place to go. Okay? Right? The veteran who struggle with PTSD and emotional difficulties and they cannot maintain their employment so they cannot pay rent. So they're going to be homeless pretty soon. And a domestic violent person who like separate but have no place to go. Our administration will pay attention to the homeless and the almost homeless. Thank you.
Yeah, so just real quickly on the mountain, I wasn't saying the money was going to SEEM. I think it should be going to different Hawaiian groups. But let's talk about specifics. You know, I just heard a specific, talk to the homeless. You know, we've put out money working with different groups, different nonprofits, including the ones that Kimo just talked about, over $10 million, got another group of money. They're not only talking, they're going out and putting street medicine, they're getting them in places, and we're building housing. Now think about this for a second. 28%, he doesn't like that number. He just said that the reason was that we swept. First of all, we didn't do a sweep. We went out and we started talking to people weeks in advance, got them moved to different places. But even if you took that number, we have over 1,000 homeless at that time. So at the minimum, 280. There wasn't 280 people that were living at the wall that heals. So, you know, what are we doing? We are providing housing. We've just signed an agreement and opened up Salvation Army. They're working, I think there are about 25 people overnight over there. We've worked with our federal delegation. We've got the Old Memorial Hospital, $13 million that's going in to provide housing over there. We've worked on the Kona side, Kukui'ola. We've been building infrastructure, and we're about to build buildings over there. We're working very closely with the governor. I think that's why the governor is, you know, for all the work that we're doing with him, has endorsed our campaign here. We're working on Kauhali. We got two spaces on the Kona, side. We have one. We have a space on the Hilo side. We're also working with them to set up housing. Housing is the key. But first, you need to work with the agencies. We've put the money to the agencies. The agencies have been doing their jobs. The 28%, you know, that's not a number I came up with. That is a number that is used all over the place, all through the country. We had the biggest decrease in the state. That's not debatable. We had one of the biggest in the country. So we have been making a difference, and you're starting to see it. You're starting to see it downtown Hilo. You're starting to see it in Kona, and you're starting to see it in all other places. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both gentlemen. And now to Amaya, and it's time for you to challenge each other.
Now it's your turn. For each candidate, what would you ask the other candidate about an issue important to Hawaii Island?
Let's go with Mitch first.
So Kimo, you know, you've tried to criticize a lot of things that the county has done, and like building the parks, paying for all these different things. You know, it doesn't sound like you've gone over the budget. And by the way, that budget was openly discussed at council. It is open online. What changes or what things did we spend money on that you would have changed, and what would you have spent it on? Because the way I look at it, all the things that you've criticized us saying that we didn't do, we'd have to raise our taxes by two. So how would you pay for these things?
Sure, yeah. Thank you for that. First of all, we don't know where the fund balance goes, Mitch. You know, and maybe when you get your chance, you could talk a little bit about the fund balance. So this is how it works, right? So we have a big budget, right? And then when you don't hire folks or you get grants and you don't know how to, you know, it's just kind of like this leftover money goes into this fund balance. And I've been asking the county forever. And talk about, you know, fact checking. I've been trying to look on your website to fact check the 28 days. There's nothing there. I even looked if there's a plan for fire hazards. Like, it's very difficult to find anything on the website regarding facts, right? And so when you ask to do a fact check, I tried. It's absolutely difficult, almost impossible with your website. So talk about transparent government. Our website will be as transparent as possible, so you don't have any of those questions. So where would we find the? There's a lot of possibilities for revenue. We have a consultant on our team, expert consultant, came back from D.C. He's on our team now. He said, Kimo, you can get millions of dollars just from permits. Because you know that we charge, like, for any, if you do a rezone application, it's like $500 and then $25 for the application. Regardless of the appraisal property, regardless of the size of the zone, it doesn't matter. He said California, Washington, D.C., Arizona, they charge based on the appraisal. You could get revenues right there. He said in the hundreds of millions. Okay, well, I'm going to look at that as soon as we get elected. The second thing is, you know these, I'm not nothing against short-term rentals, okay? But if you want to do a short-term rental, we might have to tax you resort tax because you're acting like on resort now. Okay, so that right there will bring in millions of dollars, okay? Mitch talks about, I don't have a plan. Oh my goodness, I have so much plans, I wouldn't even know where to start with you folks. Okay, every department I have a plan, right, on how to address it from A to Z. So there's a lot of places to get revenue, Mitch. You guys just got to give me the chance. Thank you.
And it is time for Kima to ask Mitch his question.
All right, so here we are in Keokaha. And I brought this up before, but might as well, because it's the beautiful, you know, about, what is this, maybe, I don't know, 1 mile away from this wastewater treatment facility. All right, and I shared with folks, I did a post. By the way, you guys can check them out on my website or on my Instagram. This poor woman, she's a friend of ours, she goes to our church, almost had to amputate her leg because of sepsis that she got here swimming. Then a little cut got bigger. So there is leakage in this ocean, like nobody's business, okay? And this administration had promised to fix that Keokaha wastewater treatment facility. All right, and here we are at the fourth year. One bid came in, they pushed them back, now it's the $350 million, some ridiculous number. I mean, how are you going to, like, how is, so first question, how is that going to happen? And if there's a break before it happens, what is the plan? Like, what if the poor pump right down there just break? Because we know that's 3.5 million gallons of sewage every day, by the way. Remember that number? 3.5 million gallons of sewage coming down from Kaumana, Hilo, and the Keokaha area. And they're going to come down no matter what. Okay, that's 7 Olympic swimming pools of sewage every day. What you going to do? I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, I got all kinds of plans for that. But I would like to bring my team together to at least play what ifs. What if break there? What are we going to do? What if break there? What are we going to do? How about over here? What are we going to do? I've heard from people on our team that work for wastewater, there's no plan. So, Mitch, when are we going to get that... the thing started, and what is the plan if something breaks before it fixes?
So actually, there is a plan. You know, when we first came in, I asked the civil defense and DEM to get together. They have a plan. They actually went out. They got FEMA funds to get equipment. Where it breaks is up at the head. There's a plan to pump that into other places into the wastewater, so it would be able to be treated. Second, so that is part of that plan. Leakage. We just did a study out here where we put dyes, ran it through the system to see if there was leakage. No leakage. So we just did that very recently, and that's what we found. As far as the plan that we put out there, the plan that we put out last year and the plan we put out this year are different plans. The first part of the plan that we put was one stage of many. This plan takes the other stages. The first plan came back 77% over the budget that we set. So we said, if we're going to do this, let's do it once, let's do it right, because if you start doing something and you get done and you pay $194 million and you're not done yet, that didn't make sense. And we wouldn't think that another administration would take this on. We're here because, you know, we were given these problems. You know, we didn't start with the problems. They were there from the last administrations. So the plan that we have now that just went out for bid, the bid just came back, that has several different portions and not just the first portion. So what was said in the paper the other day, it's not the same plan. It's a more designed plan, and it's something that will protect us. As far as leakage, again, you know, you mentioned that you thought there was a sewage spill. It was not a sewage spill. It was a bypass. And just to explain what happened a couple of months ago, there was a final stage. Wastewater goes through several different processes when it goes out. And then it goes out about a mile out into the ocean. The last stage that got bypassed was chlorination. And it gets chlorinated. By the time it gets out, it's done. By the way, it's about the same as what currently happens on Oahu. We just have a more stringent procedure that we're doing here. So we didn't see leakage. It wasn't just solid waste, and we do have a plan. And to pay for the plan, we are going out for another bond setting. And the good thing is we have a good bond rating right now, and that allows us to do this and keep our bond rating up. Thank you.
Thank you. And we are running out of time here. So we're going to give both of you gentlemen 1 minute each for your final statements. 1 minute each. And I will hold you to it. Kimo.
All right. Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure sharing our opinions with you folks and our perspectives. And hopefully you get to kind of see our vision, right? And you get to make some differences in comparison. But I know that pretty much 95% of you who are here have already made up your mind, right? Because at this point in the game, you know, is for some of you who's already, you know, with Mitch, it's little I can little. Say, I think. And for those of you who are supporting me, it's little Mitch can say too. So I guess we're targeting those in between, okay? I got to tell you, change is good, right? I know some of you might be scared of change because it's unpredictable. But like I told Mitch when we were talking, you know, he has some real good programs that we will continue to promote. It's you know, we're on the same team. I mean, right? We live on an island. We see each other. We're friends. So I won't stop anything that this administration has worked so hard to continue, okay? But it's a long race. 8 laps is a lot, right? This administration did 4. All we're saying is, hey, we're on the same team, man. Pass the baton. Just pass the baton and let us finish this race strong because you deserve it.
That's it. Thank you very much. Mitch?
Yeah, thank you to the Big Island Press Club, Kimo. You know, we're at a place much better than we were where we were when we came in. My mom always told me, leave things better. We are at a much better place. You look at our bond rating, look at all the things that we started. You know, change takes time. We've seen a lot of great things. You don't have to take my word. You can look at the buildings coming up. You can see the roads that are being paved. All the good that's being done. When you change, not all change is good. You can prevent things from happening. It takes a time to get things going. We have the snowball rolling. Positives change is here. And we believe for the next 4 years, we can even make this island a lot better. So thank you very much for your time and coming out.
I'd like to thank both the incumbent, Mitch Roth, and the challenger, Kimo Alameda. Give them both a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Good job, gentlemen. Thank you very much. And you have been listening and watching. Meet the next mayor right here at the beautiful Hilo Yacht Club. I'm John Burnett. I'd like to thank you very much for being here. I'd also like to thank our questioners here. I'd like to thank Amaya Hirata and Michael Phillips. Like to thank our sponsors, New West Broadcasting, Chris Leonard, Gavin Tenoy, K-Vikes Media, and Luke. Also like to thank the Japanese Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Hawaii Island Chamber of Commerce, All Hawaii News, Nancy Cook-Lauer, thank you for being our timekeeper, Albatross News, Outdoor News from Hawaii with Bob Dewar, and, of course, Coconut City Creative, who did a beautiful job here on our on everything that we have, all of our material and stuff. Thank you very much. And aloha.